Go ahead and open your Bible up to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to continue talking about getting dressed for battle. And it's very important, I want you to see that each one of these different pieces of armor, of clothing that the Christian is supposed to wear, it's a picture, it's a metaphor of what we're supposed to put on in our Christian life. Now, let me remind you, we talked about last week that the Scripture teaches in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6, that we're involved in a spiritual warfare. We're not involved in fighting with other human beings. We can't touch them. We can't see them. But as believers in Jesus Christ, we are in a spiritual warfare. And I might add, I believe we're losing terribly. And a lot of times people think, well, the way that you win the battle is you go to church every Sunday. And that doesn't hurt anything, but that's not going to help you win the battle. This morning we're going to look at how to win the battle. And each week we've added another two things that we need to put on. But let's begin. Let's look beginning in verse... let's see here. 13? 14? Yeah. Verse 14. It says, "Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil." All right, we talked about last week the first piece of armor that's not really an armor. It's you're to put on the belt of truth. And he says, gird your loins. You're supposed to get ready for action every day. And remember, and I don't try to remind you of the Greek just for any reason, but we sometimes in the English don't see how in the Greek the tenses are, but it says in the Greek that you are to put on and leave on the belt of truth. In other words, you're to always be wearing as a believer the belt of truth. And we talked about that last week. We're talking about absolute truth. We're talking about not relative truth. We live in a world where relative truth rules. In other words, what you believe is right is right. If you can find a couple people to agree with you, someone that has a degree or a TV star, if you agree that what you want to do is right, then it's right. A phrase that a lot of people use today is live your own truth. Well, that sounds good. That's relative truth, but that's not biblical truth. And one of the things we learn about the belt of truth is that we as believers in Jesus Christ should believe in absolute truth, that God's Word specifically tells us what is right, what is wrong, how to know God personally. And so the belt of truth means that you know it, but not just that you know it, you live it. There are a lot of Christians that know what to do, but they don't live it. When you wear the belt of truth, you not only know absolute truth, but you live absolute truth. And then last week we talked about the breastplate of righteousness. And another translation calls it the body armor. And we learned that Roman soldiers would have front and back coverage that would protect their vital organs. And that spiritual truth, the breastplate of righteousness, is reminding us that the way that we are righteous before God has nothing to do with what we do, but who we believe in. To have the righteousness of God, the way you get that is through placing your faith in Jesus Christ. And when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we have God's righteousness. That's what I was telling the kids. You don't earn God's righteousness. It is a gift that we receive through Jesus Christ. And if you're going to go into battle, every single day, you're to put on and leave on the belt of truth, and you're also to put on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, there's no soldier that would ever go into battle without putting on his body armor or his ammo and his guns, the belt of truth. And so we go into battle every single day. And we talked about those two pieces last week. Now, let me just remind you, I also said last week, the reason I believe we're getting defeated in battle as Christians is three reasons, really. First of all, we're ignorant. We're ignorant of the weapons. Christians don't take truth serious, and they don't put it around their lives. Christians don't take Christ's righteousness seriously, and they don't put it on. And I believe that we don't understand these weapons. And then the second reason, we don't realize we have danger. I'm telling you, we live in a world, we live in a culture that is so incredibly dangerous. Listen, the belief that your truth is the right truth is dangerous. And we live in a world that is dangerous. And I think the reason so many Christians are getting defeated in their daily lives is because they don't think there's a war going on. They just go to work. They just face life. And the truth is, there is danger out there. It's spiritual danger. And then I think the third reason is we're just flat lazy. I wish I had a better reason, but I think we're just lazy. We don't put on the belt of truth because we're lazy. We don't take advantage of Bible studies because we're just lazy. And that's a sad thing. But this morning, we talk about two new ones. So let's talk about it. He says in verse 15, to put on your shoes. Verse 15 says, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. I love that. Put on your shoes. And what are the shoes of the Christian soldier? It's the understanding that we have peace with God from the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. We understand that Jesus Christ died for us, that we can't be righteous in our own way, but we can have peace with God, not through religious duty or works, but through faith in Jesus Christ. We can have peace. We're not at war with God. A lot of Christians think God is an angry God that's mad at us. That's not the God we serve. We, as believers in Jesus Christ, have peace with God through Jesus. And those are the shoes that he's talking about putting on. Now, a Roman soldier knew that his shoes were extremely important because his very life could depend on a good pair of shoes. You see, the Roman soldiers primarily did hand-to-hand combat. And one of the things they would have to do in order to fight a battle is they would have to march many, many miles through all kinds of terrain, rocky terrain, cold terrain, hot terrain. I mean, there was all kinds of dangers out there, thorns, stickers, all of those things, if they got in their feet, would affect their ability to do hand-to-hand combat. You know, it's kind of like this. One of the things I discovered about living in Mount Ida is that my feet can't handle the rocks around here. I mean, you know, I'm from Texas. We have sand. We have stickers. We have, you know, concrete. And I can handle the hot concrete because I can move around quick and I can see the stickers. But what I've discovered about here, my driveway, you know, Julie's car a lot of times is parked on the other side of the garage, and my truck sticks out. And if I'm barefooted, I can walk on the pavement all the way to the garage. But if I have to go out in that driveway, I can't do it. And it's not very far. And I know some of that is just not going barefooted enough anymore. But those rocks around here are deadly. I mean, I used to mountain bike. I don't think I would want to mountain bike in this area. You know why? In Texas, you could fall off and hit sand and stickers and wood. You're going to hit crystals, and they're going to be sharp crystals. And so when I think about shoes, if I'm going to do battle in Mount Ida, I'm going to have shoes on. I just am not going to go out there. And when we think about a Roman soldier needed his feet in order to move quickly. He needed his feet in order to stand his ground. And so the Roman soldiers had these shoes, and they were an essential part of their equipment. Really, they're sandals. I'm calling them shoes, but really they're sandals. And they were sandals that were made out of 3/4 of an inch of leather. And what was cool about these sandals is they would have these nails in the bottom. And these nails gave them traction when they were going up a slippery hill. Their sandals had cleats. It's kind of like cleats today, football cleats. You know, they could get traction. And it was so incredibly important for a soldier in that day to be able to walk, but also be able to hold his ground. And those spikes, those nails, those cleats would allow them to hold their ground. And so a Roman soldier would not go into battle without his belt. He would not go into battle without his breastplate. And he would wear shoes. And we need to understand that sometimes in our culture, we don't think that shoes are very important. But let me tell you, when I bought these shoes, these $16 shoes, they were great just to stand on them. And we decided to go on a hike. And it was miserable. It's when I discovered that I will never wear these shoes if I have to walk very far. There's no padding underneath. Matter of fact, at this age of life, stage of life, I'm not going to save money on shoes. I'm going to get decent shoes. It's worth every penny to me. Because if I can't walk, I can't do anything. And in Christian battle, when we talk about Christian battle, you need to have the shoes of peace. And so that was important. But what is it? He says, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news. And my question this morning is, have you done that? I didn't ask you if you go to church. I didn't ask you if you read your Bible. What I'm asking you is, have you ever accepted the good news of Jesus Christ? And you will never be prepared for battle until you do so. Did you notice that? He says, so that you will be fully prepared. Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, must have the shoes of peace. You're never ready until you know that you have peace with God. I don't wake up in the morning and think God's mad at me. I don't ever wake up in the morning and wonder if I have been good enough to get into heaven someday. You know why? I have peace with God, and I know how I have it. It is through Him. It's through Jesus Christ that I have that peace. And so, the interesting thing about putting on the shoes of peace, it allows us to stand when Satan attacks. It allows us to have confidence when Satan attacks that we're saved not by what we do, but for what He did for us. It allows you to stand firm. One of the things I've noticed through being a pastor through the years is how many Christians doubt their salvation. They're not sure if they're right with God. And that's a terrible way. You're going to get defeated all the time. Because the good news teaches that you are right with God, not by what you do, but what He did for you. Listen to this one. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. He says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith. How do you get made right in God's sight? It's by faith in Jesus Christ. And then he says, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. That's the gospel. That's good news. Salvation is not what you do, it's what He did for you. And when you get that, you will have peace with God. You'll quit trying to earn your salvation. Another scripture that gives us good footing is Romans 8:1. In Romans 8:1, Paul says, so now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So now there is no condemnation. When you understand how much God loves you, when you understand what He did for you, and when you understand that you have peace with Him, you don't have to fear Him. Never, ever should we live in continual fear that God's going to reject us someday. We should respect Him, but not fear Him in the way that He's going to drop us someday. And what Satan does, he gets us doubting our salvation. And when he does that, we're not able to stand against his ways. So you've got to have the shoes of peace. You've got to have the belt of truth. And you've got to have the righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ. So get the picture. You got your shoes on. You got your body armor on. You got your belt on. But there's something else that you need, and it's very important. You got to pick up your shield. You got to pick up your shield. Look at verse 16. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. You see, your shield that you pick up called faith is one of the most important weapons you have in this battle. Now, what was Paul talking about? Well, there are several shields. You've seen the one on TV. I think it's in The Gladiator. The round shield, and they put it on their arm. And, you know, that's one of the shields that they have. And it was more hand-to-hand combat. But there was another shield that Paul is talking about here. It's called the Thurios shield. And it was a shield that was about 2.5 feet wide and about 4.5 feet tall. It's the ones where they would get a line. And you've seen it on, you've seen Roman War. It says everybody, they line up and they have these long shields. And what the Roman soldiers would do is they would line up, shield to shield. They have up to a mile long rectangular formation, and the archers would get in the middle and they would shoot, and the responsibility of the guys with the shield was to catch the returning arrows. And this shield was extremely, you would never go to battle without the shield. Now sometimes it was wood covered with metal, and if you had that metal kind of shield, what would you do when the arrows came? You would reflect them. But not all of them got to have the metal ones, so a lot of them would have a wooden core, and it would be covered in oiled leather. And what they would do before they would go into battle is they would soak their shield in water. And so when they shot the fiery arrows at them, if it hit in their water-soaked shield, it would help put it out. It would make it less of a problem. And so Paul is saying here, listen, when you go to battle, you got to remember that the enemy is going to be shooting arrows at you. And your main defense against the arrows, which are going to come your way, is this shield. And you either deflect, or you catch and hopefully it goes out. And he says that shield is so incredibly important for your safety. If you didn't have a shield, you'd get an arrow. And that would not be a good thing. And so Paul calls this shield faith. He's talking about your basic day-to-day trust in God. It means you believe Him, you believe His Word, and you trust Him, and you trust His Word. And so what Paul is talking about, he said, you're going to go into battle, and when you get out there, Satan's going to be shooting these different arrows at you. Now, here's the thing that's crazy about those arrows. During that time, the enemy would wrap their arrows with cloth, and then they would put it in, what is that stuff called? Pitch. And they would soak those arrows in pitch. And then right before they shot them, they would line them. You've seen it on TV. You've seen TV movies. But here's the crazy thing. Those are flaming missiles. If you're lucky enough to not get hit by the arrow, you might not be lucky enough to not get some of the pitch. That pitch evidently was very hot, and when it would hit, it would splatter. So it was kind of like a bomb. And Paul says, listen, the enemy is out there, and he is shooting these arrows at you, and the only defense you have is your faith in Jesus Christ, your faith in God. Listen, going to church is not going to get you through a battle. But the faith that you have will. It's a real personal understanding that God is in control, that God is powerful. When you have this faith, you have the ability to overcome the arrows that He's going to shoot your way, the flaming missiles. Now, what are they? Well, many times, all Satan's going to do is be tempting you. He's going to shoot this arrow at you. He's going to tempt you to make unwise choices. You always have a choice. Temptation is not a sin. Giving into it is. So Satan begins to tempt you, and you have a choice. Am I going to obey God, or am I going to obey Satan? And so Satan, man, he's back there. He's just tempted. He's, you know, you're starting to think, should I or should I not? And most of the time, we know what we should do and shouldn't do, right? But he's tempting us. I'll tell you the way that he wins a lot of times. He causes you to doubt. He shoots the arrow of doubt. Anytime you start wondering if you might be saved or you maybe haven't been good enough, that kind of doubt makes you a prime target for Satan to have victory in your life. Listen, as a pastor, one thing I want people to understand is that if you have your faith in Jesus Christ, you don't ever have to doubt your salvation. Doubt is dangerous. If you're worrying about something you did 20 years ago causing you to go to hell, you don't understand grace. You don't understand forgiveness. He does not want you living with doubt. I'll tell you another way. He shoots the arrow of shame. Shame is that feeling that you're never good enough. I can't be... Listen, if you've ever had kind of a checkered past, and I know y'all are all saints, but if you've ever had a checkered past, which I have had a little bit, here's the way I interpreted it. There came a point in my life when I realized that I was just as holy as Billy Graham. Because everybody holds up Billy Graham. And I finally got grace that I realized with all the crud that I did that was wrong, that grace put me equal with Billy Graham. Because you see, Billy Graham's got the same thing I've got, grace. He's not perfect. And when you get this grace thing, you don't have to live in shame. I mean, we love to dump shame on people. People come in, I'm just not good enough. If you only knew me. If you only knew my past, Pastor. Listen, I don't need to know your past. I need to know that you got the grace that He gives freely. Because He puts us all on the same playing field. Satan, he shoots the arrow of discouragement, depression. He shoots the arrow of conflict. Let me tell you what. Any conflict comes from Him, not Jesus. Churches don't need to have conflict if they focus on Him. It's when they focus on them, themselves, it's when it happens. You see, Satan is out there constantly shooting these arrows. And let me tell you, there's a lot of people getting hit. Friday was just a bad day for me. I think too much. It's part of my problem. Friday's my day off. I think too much. And I see all these things that young people put on Facebook and about how, you know, we don't like your generation. Then I'll see the older generation put stuff, I don't like your generation. And my goodness. Can we just all be friends in Jesus? I get worn out. I'm serious. I just want to say, what's wrong with you? You young people were griping about the old people judging. You're doing the same thing that the old people are doing now. Just get over it. We're all flawed, messed up, screwed up. We need Jesus. And as I was feeling a little discouraged about that, you know, I get in those moods. And so, you know, what do you do to build your faith back up? You know what I did? Got my ear pods out. Got my Christian music out. And I just worshiped. Focused on who He was. Listened to the cross, songs about the cross. Let me tell you what. My faith was built up by the truth about Jesus Christ and God's love for me. You know, we just need to understand that Satan's going to try to get everything screwed up. And he does that so easily just by shooting the arrows. And he may hit one over here and one over here. But the thing is, those people who he hits, destroys. Oh, they may not lose their salvation, but they lose their witness. They lose their effectiveness. You see, the shield of faith, here's what it means. It means we have complete reliance on God. Hey, you survived those eras because you have complete reliance. Having faith means total dependence on God and a willingness to do His will. That's what faith is. And so when Satan's out there shooting, if we try to pull up, I'm a Southern Baptist, you're going to die. God could care less whether you're a Southern. I go to church every Sunday, you're going to die. It's going to hit and just knock you out. But you hold up, I'm trusting God. I believe in God. I have a relationship. That deflects the arrows. It's about your relationship. It's living by people. Living by faith is trusting God in His Word, not the world and its worries. Satan is winning, though, because he's got us all messed up. We're so messed up on sexual immorality. We're so messed up on truth. We're so messed up on right and wrong. And you know, it's just like, we've got to get back to living day by day in a faith relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that's going to save this country. I hate to tell you this, politics ain't going to save this country either direction. It's only when we have faith in God. Listen to what Habakkuk 2:4 says. I love this. It says, look at the proud. They trust in themselves and their lives are crooked. I love that. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. Another translation says, but the righteous shall live by His faith. Live your faith, not know it, live it. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6, I love this. Every word of God proves true. Listen, your shield comes from the truth, and the truth is the Word of God. Every word of God proves true. And it says this, He is a shield to all who come to Him for protection. Do not add to His words, or He may rebuke you and expose you as a liar. Your shield is God, and His Word, use it. And then the last one is Psalm 18:30. God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. And here's part I like. He is a shield for all who look to Him for protection. You want protection? Be sure you got the right shield. And then finally, in 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5, it says, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Who? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, this faith thing is everything. It's your shield when Satan is shooting those fiery darts. There's a story told by a Bible translator, Wycliffe Bible translator, and it was a guy named John Payton. And you don't realize this, but when you have to translate a Bible into a culture that may not have the same words that you have, it's a little bit difficult. So here's what he says. When John Payton was translating the Bible for a South Seas Island tribe, he discovered they had no word for trust or faith. Now just imagine, you're a Bible translator, you've got to translate the word trust or faith. They don't have it in their vocabulary. So, one day, a native who had been running hard came into the missionary's house, flopped himself in a large chair, and said, "It's good to rest my whole weight on this chair." "That's it," said Payton. "I'll translate faith as resting one's whole weight on God." You want to win the battle? You need to rest all your weight on Him. You need to trust Him. You need to live Him. You need to believe Him. Because that's how you reflect, defend against the errors that are being shot your way. You can't trust yourself. You have to trust in Him. So we have the belt of truth. We have the breastplate of righteousness. And we have the shoes of peace. Those are the kind of things that you've got to get up every day and have on to survive in this battle. My prayer is that you will and you have that peace and that you have that faith that will allow you to be victorious. Let's pray. Father, I come to you and as we go into battle today, help us first of all to understand the importance of having on the shoes of peace. We are saved not by what we do, but because of what Jesus did for us. Father, help us to pick up that shield, that confidence, that reliance, that belief in you so we can stand the attack that Satan has coming every single day. And Father, may we not be satisfied with just surviving, but may we march and be victorious because of your Son. And I just ask that in Jesus' name.